Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today we're looking at some of this year's Emmy Award nominees ahead of this Sunday's ceremony. The critically acclaimed show The Good Place is ending its four-year run in a good way, receiving four nominations this year, including Outstanding Comedy Series. The show, which ended in early 2020, follows four humans who definitely do not belong in heaven, a.k.a. The Good Place. Yet they wind up there, and it throws off all the different dimensions of life, death, heaven, hell, and possibly the future of mankind. The show was developed by Michael Schur, who also created The Office and Parks and Rec. It's an out-there concept, but with a really funny, smart team of writers and a great cast, it quickly gained a devoted fan base. So once these four humans realize the afterlife's good-bad rating system is critically flawed, they work with a reformed demon and an omniscient robot who's also sort of a person to prove that humankind is capable of being good. See? A little bit out there. The moral stalwart of the bunch is Chidi Anagonye, a now-dead professor of ethics and philosophy who knows a lot about how to be good in theory, but in practice, he's someone who could never seem to make up his mind. Chidi was played by actor William Jackson Harper, who joined us in our studio on the day of the Good Place season finale. He received an Emmy nomination for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series. Over the course of four seasons, we watched Chidi struggle to find his confidence and fall in love with a hilariously selfish and occasionally raunchy Eleanor Shellstrop, played by Kristen Bell. While we see him teach his fellow humans about the intellectual path to goodness, he learns a lot from Eleanor and the self-involved socialite Tahani and dim Florida DJ Jason. In fact, it sort of took death to teach Chidi how to really live. And after four seasons of trying as they might, our heroes finally ended up, if not the good place, in a good place. We said goodbye to the good place in January, but do not fear, you will see William on screen again in the upcoming adaptation of Colson Whitehead's best-selling Underground Railroad for Amazon. And he'll be back narrating the audiobook series Marvel's Black Panther, Sins of the King on Cerealbox. When he visited us earlier this year, I asked him why he thinks so many people love The Good Place and have embraced it so fully.
I can't help but think that it's optimism with a serious dose of snark, as you mentioned earlier. I think that, you know, it seems to be a trend recently in the last couple of years where if you can say something that, you know, puts someone down, that makes someone feel bad, there's like this sort of veneration of like this anti-heroism. Mm-hmm. And this show at its heart is about it's about people being good to each other, but it doesn't play to this very sort of warm sort of sentimental thing. It's just all of those sort of things wrapped up in a really great fart joke, you know. and I think that, you know, that with the sort of bite that the show has is really comforting.
It's so funny. My son gets mad at me when I talk about him on the show, but I'm going to. He got in trouble this morning with me for trying to sneak an extra episode of The Good Place.
And oh!
He's deeply into this. She's 11. He's deeply into the show. And it's really interesting to watch a kid watch it because, yeah, you know, there's two different levels going on. He's in for the fart jokes.
Yeah.
But he's also sort of in for the relationships. I can tell that he's really digging into that. When you think about your character Chidi's arc, how do you think he's grown? What's been his biggest leap?
Well, I think it's the sort of relaxing of that moral rigidity. I feel like he's always sort of looked for the answer in all scenarios that will always work. You know, there's one way to behave, and if we all did that, everything would be fine. And I feel like through his relationships with, you know, the rest of the Soul Squad, Team Cockroach, whatever you want to call them, you know, he's had to sort of question that and change. And I think that's been the biggest, you know, source of his growth.
He's always got a stomach ache.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the funniest reoccurring moments. Are there other things in the script when you look back over time, you think, oh, I understand why that was in the script or the way it was being crafted, that now that we're at the end, you get why the writers, Mike Schnur, did it?
You know, I mean, well, to go back to the stomach ache thing, it's something that, like, I mean, I get stomach aches when I get really nervous and anxious. It's like, this is, you know, this is, nothing is truer to me than sort of having that happen. And, you know, because it's like the seat of my anxiety. And, you know, but I you know, it's, looking back on the show, I feel like, you know, as a cast, I feel like we've gone on the same ride that everyone else has, mm-hmm. you know, and I go back online sometimes and people make connections because they've watched the show recently, you know, and I watch the show and I don't go back because, you know, it's kind of hard to watch yourself. It's like, oh, God, I didn't do the job I wanted to do that day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a... But, like, people are picking up a lot of things and then, like, you know, seeing, like, oh, remember that moment in season two? Now it's playing in season three. And it's, you know, it's just so well-crafted. And so there's a lot of those Easter eggs that, you know, mm-hmm. the writers put in for people to, you know, it rewards the audience for paying attention.
Did you have to do a deep dive into philosophy to play Chidi?
Oh, man, I tried. I really tried. I'm just not smart enough to keep up. I tried to read What We Owe to Each Other, and I have to admit that the book defeated me. It won.
It broke you.
It broke me. I got like 50 pages in, and I was just like, I don't think I really grasp anything that I've read here. So usually when it comes to, you know, the philosophy stuff for me, I give it a shot with the real text, and then eventually I just go to Wikipedia and I'm like, okay, what are the layman's terms? What is the, like, sort of basic understanding that I can use to, you know, give this lecture some sort of element of truth?
Did any of it stick with you? Was there any one lesson or piece of philosophy that you thought, okay, I'm going to take that forward in life?
Well, you know, I feel like deontology is something that I actually kind of relate to. You know, the fact that there is, like, a duty that we have, you know, to the world, to the greater society, and that, you know, I feel like sort of that's it. It's the thing that allows for the most sort of flexibility for me mm-hmm. to, you know, sort of make in the moment decisions that will bring, you know, about some kind of good. So, you know, I feel like other things, there's a wall that I hit when I think about it where I'm like, oh, well, you know, there's a rigidity to it mm-hmm. that I just, you know, I can't get behind.
My guest is William Jackson Harper. We're talking about The Good Place, all four seasons and the finale, which is kind of sad. Let me ask you if the internet is telling the truth. You, before this job, you were kind of at a crossroads. You were trying to decide whether or not to stick with acting.
Yeah.
Is that true? What was going on with you right before the show?
I think a lot of actors at that moment. I think you have it at least once every year, if not every month. but like I, you know, I've been doing a lot of theater here in the city, and I was, you know, really happy, you know, in a lot of ways, but I was also just struggling, and I was, you know, just in my mid-30s and sort of looking at my life, and I'm like, I don't know that this exact, you know, lifestyle for the rest of my life is what I want to do, and I wanted some sort of stability, and I, you know, I decided that, you know, well, like, I'll go into this pilot season for the last time, and I'll, you know, I'll have fun. And I should go back and say that, like, you know, usually when you have that conversation about quitting, you know, it's like you step back from the brink and you're like, no, I don't want to lose this. Mm-hmm. And I think when I had this conversation with myself, you know, a couple of years ago, I felt release. I felt relief. I felt free, you know. And so I was like, well, I'm going to go and just enjoy being an actor rather than tying all my self-worth and everything mm-hmm. up into whether or not I get a job. And so, you know, it was sad to be like, you know, I don't want to be an actor anymore, but it was also sort of a, you know, I felt free at the same time. And then this job happened and it was just like the best thing that has happened in my career.
It's interesting if you're not caught up, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say this. The last episode, everybody gets to the good place finally, right? Yeah. So we're in the good place and it's not so good. It's so everything is so good, and that there's no texture and there's no difficulty, that people's brains start to get to mush.
Yeah.
Am I describing this correctly?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought about this, and this is maybe because we're in New York Station. I thought that about being a New Yorker versus when you move to someplace like LA. where everything is so, the weather's always really nice and everybody's really good looking. And New York, you got to fight your way in the subway and there's Pizza Rat and the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, because you were a New York actor, what was that transition like for you to go to L.A.?
Well, you know, I basically go for the show and then I hightail it back to New York as soon as I can. I mean, look, L.A. is fine. I enjoy
being
out there.
Oh, it's fun. It's great to
go. You
know,
I like it. And I have a lot of old friends out there. It's great. But there's something about, I don't know, I've been here for almost 16 years now. And it's like, there's something about having kind of earned your stripes a little bit that I'm like, I don't want to let that go. And I think also in L.A., I'm always, because everything feels so easy and because everything is so pleasant and everyone's smiling all the time, I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop, where in New York, the shoe was always dropping.
So, you're tripping over it.
You're tripping over it. You know, and so you're just like, there's an ease to like, well, yeah, it's always a little bit rough. And so you're never like sort of looking for that thing to surprise you, to, you know, make your day, you know, crappy.
So it was so interesting, because that last episode was just so illuminating in some ways. It's like you think you want what you want, and then you get it, and it's not that great.
Yeah.
Or whatever expectation you've put on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's, sometimes achievement isn't the end of the story, right? It's also, you know, what happens next? You know, what happens, you know, life is long, you know, like so many, you know, romantic comedies end with the marriage, but, you know, that's just the beginning of that story. And so, you know, like, I feel like this is, you know, honest storytelling in that, you know, and honestly a little bit truncated, but, you know, it's like, you know, what happens when you get the thing and what does that actually mean, you know?
So, can you give us anything we should look for tonight? I know you can't give it away. I know you can't. I wouldn't even ask you. But is there something in the finale tonight, the 90-minute finale, that our listeners can look for? It's kind of an Easter egg or some moment that you love in the finale.
Oh, God. I really wish I could give you anything. But I did see it for the first time last night.
And oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, because I had no idea what to expect. I mean, we shot it, but who knows what makes it to the show. And so I really feel like it is best to go into this show open and ready to have it conclude. And, you know, I think it's...
And does it firmly conclude?
It does conclude.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll take that.
Yeah. It concludes. The story concludes.
So your next project, by the way, my guest is William Jackson Harper. Well, you have a lot of projects, but Underground Railroad, Colson Whitehead's book, is coming to a series. It's 11 episodes, right? You're in it. Tell me about that. That's so exciting.
I love the book, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just, you know, just ran me through the ringer. I mean, I was, you know, just a mess. But I think it's one of those books that's really important because it dialogues so well with where we are as a society. You know, like, there's fast progress, there's measured progress, there's respectability politics, there's, you know, there's the psychological terrorism, and it's, you know, it just asks all these questions while in this historical context that's just sort of, you know, slightly turned. And, you know, I just love that it's... For some reason, with it being sort of an alternate history, I'm able to connect with it much more intimately. I think, just because it's there's something about it that feels very modern in the way the characters you know, express themselves. And I'm super excited to be a part of it. I can't believe I get to be a part of it.
I'm doing an event with Colson in a couple months. Have you met him?
No, I haven't yet.
What
no.
questions should I ask him? What question do you have?
Oh Lord. Why, man?
Like, why, man? All right.
How intentional were all the parallels that he drew? I mean, because to me, they're just so seamlessly rendered. And I just wondered, you know, how did he like, how intentional was every parallel that he drew with sort of our current political situation?
That was my conversation with Emmy-nominated actor William Jackson Harper, who joined us to discuss his role as Chidi in The Good Place. The series is nominated for 4 Emmys.